Jaya Dama Dava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vajakacharya Astutara Sata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhayacharya Vrinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Shri Haridas Sattva Ki Jaya Prem Seka Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chama Kunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Gangamai Ki Jai, Shri Jamnamai Ki Jai, Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Their Lordship Shri Shri Radha Shamsundar Ki Jai, Their Lordship Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Their Lordship Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Their Lordship Shri Shri Lakshmi Nishinga Dev Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, text number 10. Yeah, well, actually it's one, but it's just kind of a separated like two. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so we'll try it and see how it goes. Yeah. Katam vayam na tachiroshi sevtvayi. Prasanna desya kila tapat soshanam. Jive mate sundaraha sasobitam. Apasyamana varana manoharam. Iti chodirita vacha jananam bhakta vatsala. Srinvananun graham drista vitanam pravisya puram. Oh, I think that's wrong. I think that's the, yeah. That's the wrong meter. Anyway, we'll do it again. Katam vayam nata chiroshite tvayi. Prasanna drisya kila tapa shoshanam. Jive mate sundaraha sasobitam. Apasyamana varanam manoharam. Iti kodirita vacha prajanam bhakta vatsala. Srinvananum graha drista vitanam pravisyate puram. Katam vayam nata chiroshite tvayi. Prasanna drisya kila tapa shoshanam. Jive mate sundaraha sasobitam. Apasya yamana vadam manoharam. Katam vayam nata chiroshite tvayi. Prasanna drisya kila tapa shoshanam. Jive mate sundaraha sasobitam. Apasyamana vadanam manoharam. Katam vayam nata chiroshite tvayi. Prasanna drisya kila tapa shoshanam. Jive mate sundaraha sasobitam. apasya mana varnam manoharam katam vayam nata chiroshite tvayi prasana drishya kilata pashoshanam jive mate sundaraha shoshobitam apasyamana varanam manoharam. Word for word. Katam, how? Vayam, we. Nata, O Lord. Chiroshite, being abroad almost always. Twayi, by you. Prasanna, satisfaction. Drishtya, by the glance. Akila, universal. Tapa, miseries. Shoshanam, vanquishing. Jivema, shall be able to live. Te, your. Sundara, beautiful. Hasa, smiling. Shobitam, decorated. Apasyamanaha, without seeing. Varanam, face. Manoharam, attractive. Iti, thus. Cha, and. Udiritaha, speaking. Vachaha, words. Prajanam, of the citizens. Bhakta Vatsalaha, kind to the devotees. Srinvanaha, thus learning. Anugraham, kindness. Drishtya, by glances. Vitanvan, distributing. Pravishat, entered. Puram, Dwarkapuri. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O Master, if you live abroad all the time, then we cannot look at your attractive face, whose smiles vanquish all our sufferings. Is that correct? Oh. How can we exist without your presence? Upon hearing their speeches, the Lord, who is very kind to the citizens and the devotees, entered the city of Dwarka and acknowledged all their greetings by casting his transcendental glance over them. Purport. Lord Krishna's attraction is so powerful that once being attracted by him, one cannot tolerate separation from him. Why is this so? Because we are all eternally related with him, as the sun rays are eternally related with the sun disk. The sun rays are molecular parts of the solar radiation. Thus, the sun rays and the sun cannot be separated. The separation by the cloud is temporary and artificial, and as soon as the cloud is cleared, the sun rays again display their natural effulgence in the presence of the sun. Similarly, the living entities, who are molecular parts of the whole spirit, are separated from the Lord by the artificial covering of Maya, illusory energy. This illusory energy, or the curtain of Maya, has to be removed, and when it is so done, the living entity can see the Lord face to face, and all his miseries are at once removed. Every one of us wants to remove the miseries of life, but we do not know how to do it. The solution is given here, and it rests on us to assimilate it or not. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timrandasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sargajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Pancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumati Shila Virabhav Prabhu Iti Namini Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nupadaya Namah Shri Virabhavve Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharana Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshitani. So, it's very interesting to me to see how Srila Prabhupada presented this purport and especially how he concluded it. So, as we understood that Srimad Bhagavatam picked up from where the Bhagavad Gita left off. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, towards the end, Krishna told Arjuna, he said, now I've given you everything, I've explained everything to you, now you can make your choice, you can decide what you want to do. You can take it or leave it. So that's the end of the Bhagavad Gita, and here is the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We were just on the first canto, the 11th chapter, and Srila Prabhupada is telling us the same thing. He said, here is the conclusion, here is what one has to do, now it's left up to us to assimilate it. We can take it or leave it. Also interesting enough that when Srila Prabhupada wrote this purport, he was not established, he was still in India, he hasn't made it to the West as yet. He had no followers, he had no establishments whatsoever. But he was preaching to somebody here, right? He was preaching to somebody in this purport. And he was saying, well, here's what we have to do, you can either take it or you can leave it. You can assimilate, it's up to us. So, I was thinking that how powerful is that statement and how wide is Srila Prabhupada's vision? That he had his wide vision as to what's to come in the future. And he knew very well the audience to which he's preaching to or who he's going to preach to. So, in this section of the Bhagavatam, to give a recap, is our circumstances where all Krishna's business in Hastinapur with the Pandavas are over. The war is over, everything is over, everything has been reestablished. So then Krishna is returning back to his own capital city, Dwarka. So here he's entering the city of Dwarka, and the citizens are offering prayers to him to welcome him back and express their feeling that how much separated they are from him, that they are actually losing their lives because of his absence, that once they become attracted to him, they cannot revert. You cannot turn back. Like there's a saying that in Guyana, a folk saying that anyone who drinks the creek water, the water from the creek, is bound to return to Guyana. That attraction is there, that you can't turn back from it. So similarly here, once one develops that attraction for Krishna, then it cannot be reversed. So why is that so? Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport that because we have an eternal relationship with the Lord, we have an eternal connection, and he gave the example of the sun and the rays, that the sun rays are there and the sun is there, but sometimes it looks like they're disconnected because of the cloud that came between. But that cloud is temporary, it's not permanent, and it's artificial. And as soon as that's being removed, then the natural brilliance of the sun and the sunshine, their sun rays, is established. So it's always there. So similarly, our relationship with the Lord is something like that, that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And as such, we have all the qualities that Krishna has, of course, in minute quantities. And so we have that bliss, which is there eternally. And we have that attraction for Krishna because it's an eternal relationship. That attraction is always there, but sometimes it's covered. And when it's covered, then it appears as though that attraction is lost. Just like some years ago, they had this story of this mother and child who were separated pretty much from the birth of the child. And for many years after, they happened to meet they were in different countries. And when they met, they were met as strangers, no attraction, no nothing. But once they were introduced that this is their relationship, immediately that attraction came back in its full splendor. Immediately. So, because it's there, it only has to be revived. So, this is the process that we have to go through to revive this attraction for Krishna. And it's a process with Krishna's help and Krishna's support. He's always reciprocating. Just like this morning, the last thing I saw before I left the house was on my wall, my family put up this calendar with Srila Prabhupada about to board the Jaladuta. So I was thinking that on the Jaladuta, it was so difficult. It was, the sea was rough, Srila Prabhupada had two heart attacks. And he was saying that if he had a third one, he certainly wouldn't have survived. But Krishna was there with him in his dreams, and Krishna was there supporting that, don't worry, everything would be fine. So Krishna's reciprocation is there. So to start this process of reestablishing our relationship, first of all, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaisha charham aham eva vedya, that of all the Vedas, I am to be known. He's giving that conclusion that he's the purpose behind the Vedas, that if one studies and they cannot come to the conclusion of that attraction and focus on him, then something is wrong. You're missing the point. So we have to, so he's mentioning like that, he's giving that conclusion, what one should be looking for. So the conclusion is there. So the Bhagavatam started off in the very second verse, Dharma Projita Kaitavo. that for one to start it off in this process of reestablishing their lost relationship with the Lord is you have to kick out cheating religion. And this is something that is very rampant in the world, very prominent, this cheating process. We have to kick it out. Because once one recognizes that one has to engage in religious activities to reestablish their relationship, then we have to look for that activity that is bona fide. So I remember when I was only 12 years old, I met this older Christian lady. She was 60 years old. And we were talking, and she said that, well, I always had some kind of a different inclination from the rest of society. Actually, to back up a little bit, at that time I had joined a Hindu temple, the Hindu mandir in my village that I grew up in. And when I saw what the people were doing, because I used to listen to the Ramayana when my father would be reading it in the mornings, and the Bhagavad Gita, but not Prabhupada's Gita, some other Gita. And I start pick up one, 2 points here and there about principles of life, you know, what one should do. So when I joined the mandir, I saw what these people were doing that is contrary to the principles of the same Ramayana that they're reading ever so often. And I argued with them. I was preaching against it, even though I didn't know exactly what I was saying, but just on basic principles. And, you know, they said, well, for 50 years, we have been doing the same thing, and no one ever opposed us. Who are you, this little boy? Look, get out of here. So they kicked me out of the mandir. So they're saying that we've been doing this, no one ever opposed. This is what, you know, we eat our meat, we sport, we practice some religion. We read Ramayana, we worship some demigods, you know. So this is all fine, we've been doing this, and so who are you? So just get out of here. So anyway, I was kind of having that inclination, so then I met this old Christian lady, and then she told me something, you know. We were, in those days, we were very innocent. So at 12 years old, she told me something that I didn't know what it meant. She said, you know, I've lived all my life with my father's church. The front half of their house, her father built it into a church, and they were living in the back. And so the entire life, she lived in this church atmosphere. And she said, you know, I can prove to you that I'm a virgin. And in my innocence, I didn't know what that meant at the time. And I asked, what does that mean? She said, well, I've never married, and I never, you know, had connection with anyone. And the first thought that came to mind, that was very, very attractive to me, that, okay, I would like to be like that. So that was like one of my first real inspiration. So anyway, because of, you know, I was kind of kicked out of this Hindu mandir atmosphere, I was kind of thinking outside, and then I came across this. So this is the thing about this, you know, the Hindu mandir is going. This cheating religion was being practiced. And if anyone goes to oppose it, then you're being harassed and kicked out. So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that's the very first thing that Krishna says, that the sages are saying. Dharma projita kaitavo. Just, you know, kicking out of cheating religion, this is the very first step. If one wants to reestablish their relationship with the Lord, we have to go down this path. There is really nowhere around it. So, in so doing, you know, we first have to understand, we have to introspect our activities. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, also that one should be an introspective sage. That at every step in your life, one should be introspecting, one should be analyzing your atmosphere around it, one should be analyzing your activities, and understand what they're doing, and see if it really makes sense. So, I started doing that when, you know, I was this little boy, not really realizing what I was doing. But in the end, it kind of paid off because that's how I eventually met the devotees. Because I was looking for something that has more truth than this cheating process that's going around in the atmosphere. So as I was looking at that, we start introspecting, and when we came to Krishna consciousness, the very first thing that the devotees told me, they said, and I mentioned this maybe a few times before, they said, you should always be introspecting your life. And they give us this, what they call a two-month philosophy, that you should always be looking back 2 months and see what you were doing then and try to make sure you're not doing the same thing now in terms of improving in Krishna consciousness. And then try to look ahead and see where you would like to be and try to analyze and understand where you are now and what steps one should take to get there. So this is exactly what this purport is talking about. Where we need to be is to have full focus and attraction on the Lord, Krishna. And where we are now is different stages of our lives individually. And what process we need to take to get there. So if one starts analyzing themselves, analyzing the atmosphere around, and figure out, well, this is cheating, this is not where I want to be, but then we don't exactly know what should be used to replace it. That's where Krishna steps in within the heart as Chaitya Guru and starts directing from the inside. So the first thing he does is he brings us to Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees. And from there, the miracle starts, as every one of us here have that experience. Somehow or the other, a devotee came into our lives, either by Srila Prabhupada's books or personal association, or somehow or the other that came. So the different steps are there. Initially you had some faith that something better is there. So Adau Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees. Vajana Kriya, we start practicing the process. Anartha Nivritti, then we start clearing our anarthas, our unwanted activities. We start introspecting, analyzing, and we start, working towards pushing that away. It's not an easy process. It's not a magic either. It's gradual. So after that, then nishtha develops, that one becomes steady in their practice. And when that comes about, we start practicing steadily in devotional service. Then ruchi comes about, the taste. We start getting this taste for something better than what is in the material world. Of course, that comes with an entire package, that to achieve that taste and to maintain that taste, then the sadhana we have to perform, their association of devotees, studying of the books, reconfigure the way we are living, even though we use the same activities to live, but with a different mental focus. So after that ruchi comes, the taste, then we get asakti. We got this, this more steadiness comes about. Then we have bhava and prema, love of God and pure love of Godhead. Or in common words, we have it, or in simpler terms, we have, once we get introduced to a better standard of life, the first thing comes about is the chanting of the holy names. So this process is a nama parad, because initially we were chanting with a lot of offenses we don't quite understand, but we were following the process. So nama parad, then we will get to the stage of shuddhanam, for chanting the pure holy names of the Lord. Then we have bhavanam and premanam. So these steps are there in our development of Krishna consciousness. The process is there, and it's with the guidance and association of devotees, then it becomes easier to practice. Actually, one of the greatest hallucinations that is out there for devotees is to think that we can make it on our own, that we can practice this process without the association of devotees. Even though in Kali Yuga, in the association of devotees, you have to be so tolerant also, especially if you're living in the temple. There's so much tolerance. Actually, one Maharaj mentioned, he said he's convinced that anyone, if anyone can stay their lives living in the temple, their whole life, they're bound to return home back to Godhead, because there's so much austerities, so much you have to contend with, so much you have to put up with. So the whole process is an austerity, no doubt about it. To say the least, outside there is much more austerities also, and you don't get a result. So living in association of devotees is much, much better. Because by Krishna's arrangement, there are examples that are there, not with any offense to anyone, but in the association of devotees, we will see that there are examples to tell us that we shouldn't be doing those things. And then there are good examples to show you what we should do, so we can make our choice which way we want to go. Like when I was moving to this community, one devotee said, he saw you're moving to Alachua, that Alachua is a complete community. You have the best of the best and the worst of the worst and everything in between. So I was thinking, uh-oh, what does that mean? But to some extent, you know, we can see it's there. So we have so much examples, such, you know, beautiful, settled, peaceful, advanced devotees, and then we have some who don't follow so much, and every step in between we have. So it's a very wonderful opportunity to be here in the association of devotees, providing we can introspect our own lives and see in which direction we want to go. So yes, this step is there. So then we can use another analogy that helps us focus on this point. And it's the four processes of force attachment, renunciation, detachment, then attachment again. So attachment is when one is a non-devotee, he's attached to the wall, you attach everything around you, and then one gets some sort of a spiritual insight that, oh, one should actually give up this world, the activities of this world. So then one tries to become renounced. But then as one grows, like many of you might have this experience, I certainly do. When I first came to spiritual life, even before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was trying to start practice on my own. I start giving up a lot of stuff. I start seeing my surroundings, and I start trying to be away from all these things. I was trying to renounce these things. And even when I came into Krishna consciousness, we were even giving up, you know, I only had like two pieces of clothing. We only have like this skinny piece of mat that we sleep on. And we tried to give up so much. But then afterwards, we learned that, okay, better than renunciation, and Krishna describes this in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asks, of the two, which is better, work in renunciation or renunciation of work? And Krishna answered, of the two, work in renunciation is better. So I know I had this kind of mentality, okay, we want to avoid all these things, give up all these things, don't go here, don't go there. All is so much, so much don'ts and don'ts and don'ts. So then one evening, we used to do Namhat in different parts of the street. You know, we used to go out in the evenings and do Namhat programs. We set up a table, we have Harinam and Kirtan and so forth. So one day I was the organizer for that program. So in our midst, there's one guest devotee that came. He was Brahmachari at the time. And we needed, I don't know, something. Oh, we were trying to light the incense or something for the aarti, or for some reason we need matches. And we didn't know where to get. And he said, just come with me. So before it, I was telling him, you know, the only place is that rum shop across the street. that may have, but you know, we're not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to go there. He said, don't worry about it, just come with me. And he dragged me right into the rum shop. We went right in there. They were drunk, start saying, oh, you Harry Bowles are coming into the rum shop, you want a drink? You know, that's like the way people behave there. And he went right up. We went, we did our business. We asked the attendant, can we have some matches? We need to do our service here. The guy gave. And he said, do you need anything else? You need water or whatever? I don't remember what else. But anyway, we came right back out. And then I started thinking, you know, this is better than what I was thinking about. That instead of renouncing, higher than that is utilization, work in renunciation. And then I reflected what Bhagavad Gita says. And afterwards, the two of us talk about it, because I asked him about why did he do that, what was his understanding, what was his consciousness behind doing all those things. And we end up in a whole 2 or 3 hour conversation, analyzing how one should think. He's a senior devotee to me. So I learned a great lot. That better than renunciation is to, renunciation of work is to work in renunciation. So then, once one works in renunciation, that is the point of detachment, that you're not attached to the facilities you have, but you're using the facilities to engage it in Krishna's service. Just like Srila Prabhupada did, and he talked about it, Srila Prabhupada talked about it when he gave the example of the dictaphone. And many of us might remember that. That's one of the very first examples that I remember Srila Prabhupada talks about in the utilization. He talked about a dictaphone, that this is created by the modern civilization, but we can use it in Krishna's service. So we're doing that. So when one does that, then one becomes detached. And once one becomes detached from this world, then one becomes attached to Krishna. Because it's difficult, it's impossible to be attached to Krishna and to be attached to the world at the same time. Of course, many of us do that. We try to hang on to both sides. Like even Arjuna talked about that also. Is there in the Gita about trying to put one foot, either, you know, one foot in each boat. You want material life, you want spiritual life, and you kind of are toggling. But if you practice the process, it keeps going, then we would develop the strength to make the right decision. And that's where the association of devotees comes in. That we develop the strength to move from the material side of things to the spiritual side, that where we become attractive to Krishna. So by this whole process, we are developing knowledge and practice and utilization of the facilities around us. So Srila Prabhupada used to do that, that wherever he would be, he would look at the opportunity and see where and how he can spread Krishna consciousness. Whilst other people may be seeing different things, he's looking for that opportunity. Like my father told me a story once about there were three friends walking down the road. So they went into this city. And out of the three, one was a thief, one was a businessman, and the other was a woman hunter. So they're walking in the same situation, but a thief, he's seeing opportunity to thief. The businessman is seeing opportunity to do business and make money. And the woman hunter, then that's what he's seeing, opportunity to enjoy. So the same opportunity is there, the same atmosphere is there, but based on our focus, our intent, then that's how we can see. We can see things. So in Krishna consciousness, it's like that. So our focus is to go towards Krishna, to become attracted to Krishna, to redevelop this relationship as described in this purport here, to clear all these coverings. So to clear these coverings, as Srila Prabhupada said time and time again, it's a gradual process. It's not something magical. Of course, some devotees, we see it like that, you know. magically they just develop so rapidly in Krishna consciousness. But generally it's a gradual process. And we have to be smart enough to analyze, you know, our activities. We have to be smart enough to look around us and see what we're doing and to take advantage of the association of devotees. To use that association, use that strength that we can develop from each other to foster ourselves in Krishna consciousness. I know, like Kunti Devi prayed, which is a very elevated prayer, that let her attraction for, you know, her family and everyone, let that attraction be severed, let it cut that tie of affection. So at first glance you say, well, these are all devotees and you're looking to cut that tie of affection for devotees. But her intent was different, cutting the material ties of affection. But the spiritual ties of affection should remain. That once we learn to tolerate and then we learn to develop love for each other, for the devotees, in a spiritual way, then we strengthen our core group. We become now a cohesive group. And once that group becomes bonded in this cohesive way, then our strength grows. You know, we grow in the association. And so to do that, we have to, again, be very introspective. We have to also learn about the do's and the don'ts. So like we have to learn what to do and what not to do. There's always that balance. If we're learning that what we should do, we should know that the other side of the scale, there has to be something what we shouldn't do. Like, for example, we should learn to reciprocate with devotees, you know, learn to appreciate devotees, glorify devotees. So the opposite, we should learn not to criticize devotees. You know, the apparatus, we should learn not to do that. So we should learn the, like, loving exchanges. One is to share and receive gifts, share and receive prasadam. Those are the positive sides. So once we see that positive side, we should know that there's always the negative side. That, you know, not to be inimical towards devotee, not to criticize, but we should be here to help support. So this analogy is giving about there are two ways that you deal with things. One is the way of the crow, that whenever one devotee or whenever one crow gets weak, the way the other crows deal with it is to pounce on it and kill it, get rid of it, suppress it. On the other hand, the way the dolphins deal with when one of their kind gets weak, they all go from the underside and lift it up, support it, brings it up, and give all the love and support that they can. So a devotee should be like that. And when that support is there, when we can offer that love and support, then what happens is this path is clearing for us more and more. And when the path clears, we are developing this attraction, because we are understanding that this attraction, that Krishna energy is manifested all through all these living entities. And if we disregard a living entity, we're indirectly disregarding Krishna. So this focus must be there. We have to be very introspective even with our daily activities, always thinking, well, how can I improve what I'm doing? First of all, we have to analyze what we're doing. Is it the right thing we're doing, or are we on the right path, or get some help, and then try to analyze from there how can we move forward. So when we try to do that, then gradually our student life develops, because ISKCON is an institution. We are all students in this institution. And as students, we are always looking for an opportunity to learn. Each day there is something new to learn. So much is there available to us. And the goal is to become attracted to Krishna. The goal is to clear this path where we can see Krishna very clearly. That our focus becomes so strong that whilst we'll see other things, but our focus is there. And immediately, without any hesitation, we can be there. So attachment has to be there for that to happen. I remember in 2002, whoever was in this community at this time know that we used to do the padayatra with those two Belgium horses. These devotees were here. My daughter was only about 5 years at the time. And we were in the middle of summer going down in the busy streets of Gainesville on University Avenue. And this devotee decided to stop in the middle of the road. And he saw the horses, they were hot. And he decided to pour water on the horse's back. So again, I was like the leader of the program, so I was way ahead, way up in front. And then I turned around to see what's going on, because we were trying to direct traffic. And I saw what his devotee did, and I said, oh my God, this is disaster, because that threw these horses into a fit. And they do unexpected things. So because the horse stopped, everybody thought we reach our destination. And some kids that were on the cart, including my daughter, they were coming off the cart, and this horse went into this fit and made a rush up, and he smashed into this brand new Mercedes-Benz SUV in front of it, and then back into the cart. And as he was backing up, my daughter was right between the horse and the cart. And with that, that's how I realized how attached I was. That from that distance, it's probably like from the front of the lobby to maybe the back of the pujari room. All that I saw at that point, that this horse is going to squash my daughter, and there's a clear path. I didn't see any devotees in my path at that point. And within that, maybe a second or two, I was able to move from that point and barely grab her out, and the horse smashed into her skirt and ripped it. So it's like, the attraction was there and that attachment is there, that nothing stopped me within that time. Nothing stopped me from reaching there. Afterwards, I was thinking, how did I get from there to there within that time? I had no idea until now. All I knew that it happened. So attraction to Krishna is something like that. That how we can focus on him without nothing stopping us. And that's the success of our life. Look at Srila Prabhupada. Look at the Pandavas. Actually, last night I wrote this little note for this devotee who passed. And I mentioned that about the Pandavas. That don't let this discourage us, because we're so little in number and now Krishna took another one away from us. But look at, and I gave the example of the Pandavas, that at the time of the battlefield, they were losing armies who were joining the other side because of some trickery. One of the biggest army and most powerful army that was coming to join their team was his uncle, Shalya. And they tricked him to believe that the reception was offered by the Pandavas, whereas the reception was offered by the Kuravas. And then they asked him to now, then give his word, okay, you give me such great reception, I'm going to serve you. And eventually, Daniel realized, oh, he made a big mistake that he promised the Kuravas to fight on their side instead. But with all of that, the Pandavas, they only had like 7 Akshahinis, whilst the Kuravas had like 9 or 12 Akshahinis division. They were so outnumbered, and there was so much disadvantage on their part. Whilst the others were training, the Pandavas were in the forest, barely getting to eat, and so much austerities. But still, Krishna was on their side. They still held that strong faith in the Lord. When Arjuna and Duryodhana went to meet Krishna to ask Krishna for help in this war, Arjuna was standing at the foot side, and Duryodhana was sitting next to Krishna's head in bedstead whilst he was sleeping. So when he woke up, he said, what can I do for you? That there are two of you came here for my help, so I have to offer help. So Krishna says, I'm giving you this choice. You can either have me alone on your side, unarmed and not fighting, or you can have my entire army, which is the most powerful army at the time. So you make your choice. So Krishna says that, for one, Arjuna was the younger of the two, and then he saw Arjuna first because Arjuna was standing at his feet. He said, so therefore, Arjuna, you have your first choice. You make your choice. And Arjuna, without a hesitation, he said, Krishna, I want you. Not your army, not all the powerful forces, I want you. So that's the decision that we should be able to make in the development of our Krishna consciousness, to make that right decision. So I would stop here. And if anyone has any comments or questions, Mother Sukada.
Thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you, Mata.
I was thinking when you were talking about reading the purport and what Prabhupada was saying and how he was obviously speaking to a big audience, you know?
Right.
That's what he was saying. But at the same time, you know, he struggled and he went to the shipyard every week, you know, very often. Like, when are the ships, when are they leaving to go back to India?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they said when he sat down in a park bench and with another gentleman.
Yeah, that doctor, that professor.
And they were starting to talk, and he was inquiring, you know, who he was and what he was going to do. And Prabhupada said, well, there's so many temples here and there's so many, you know, farms. It's just time that's separating us. So. Yeah, even though Prabhupada was Trikalgya, you know, he could see past, present, and future, at the same time, there was like a struggle, you know, just all the situation he was in. So I was thinking, did he do that as an example for us, or was it going on simultaneously that he knew what the goal was, but still the struggle, and I thought, for ourselves too, that, you know, we have our eye on the goal, going back home, back to Godhead, even though, you know, we get hung up, we might take a detour, that, you know, we should always know where we're going. Like, Prabhupada even gives that as an example that, you know, some people, they don't know where they're going. You know, to get to Los Angeles, they maybe go up to Ottawa, Canada, you don't have any direction, but once you know where you're going, it's a whole, it might take a while to get to, but we know where you're going.
Yeah.
So, just that idea that Prabhupada knew, but still the struggle was there. So, that was a example for us, or is that just something that, I don't know.
Yeah, I want to thank you for bringing that point up, because I wanted to mention that in class, that before I get to that, I want to back up a little bit, that with our struggles for existence and to focus on Krishna consciousness, it is not a blind struggle, that Krishna is always there reciprocating, giving us encouragement. If we analyze our lives every single day, we would see how Krishna is supporting, being on our side, encouraging us to move forward, that this is the goal. Some struggles are going to be there, but I'm going to be here with you. Just like, you know, what we do with our kids. Okay, it's hard for your schoolwork or whatever to develop, but know for sure that I'm going to stand here with you. I'm going to be here to make you the person you ought to become. Just like my when I had this job, the owner for the company, the boss, his son was a renegade. And he wants his son, because that's the only person there, to be the heir of his throne or whatever he has, and he would be there and try to support him, try to do everything, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. He never give up. Always support and encourage him, hey, give up these drugs, give up, put him in rehab, do everything to try to make you a person. And he stood there to support. So Krishna is doing that also at every step of our lives. Krishna, if you look at it, you see how Krishna is there to support us, to give us the proper insight. So with Srila Prabhupada also, when I gave the example of the Jaladuta, that it's a struggle, but Krishna is there, tell Prabhupada, you have all my support, you're going to be okay. So, and then Srila Prabhupada said, he told the devotees, he said, I'm fully surrendered, but I never relax for a moment. I'm working 24/7, 24 hours a day. Not because I'm surrendered to Krishna that you don't work. So in that circumstance you just described there, I see it as both ways, that Srila Prabhupada is not a Nitya Bada, he's a Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated. And he was sent here by the Lord to perform some activities for our benefit. So he sent Srila Prabhupada to show us how to carry on this struggle, to give us this faith. So, like, when that happened, like how Srila Prabhupada just described to this professor, well, all these things are there, you know, but we have to work towards it. It's not that I'm just going to give it to you, just like this example with this man, this boss and his son. He said, this entire business is there for you, but I'm not just going to hand it to you just like that. You have to work for it. You have to come to the proper understanding. You have to develop the proper qualities to be responsible enough. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada is training us by his own example, that he's acting in that way, just like Arjuna was functioning in that way on the battlefield so Krishna can speak Bhagavad Gita. Krishna put him in that position. Similarly, my understanding is that Srila Prabhupada was placed in that position by Krishna to show us how to struggle for existence in this world and do the right thing. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, I mentioned in the last class from the seventh canto, he prayed that, O Lord, please appear within our hearts so that by your mercy we can develop the strength to struggle for existence in this material world. He never says, okay, get rid of all these struggles. He never asked for that. So Srila Prabhupada also, he didn't ask for that, but he showed us how to overcome these struggles. So yes, that my understanding is that Srila Prabhupada definitely knew. And even if he didn't, then he knew the process, that to be fully dependent on the Lord and let the Lord take charge. You know, just like what happened with Draupadi when she was being disrobed. She was calling for Krishna, and Krishna's coming, then she started taking things in her own hands. And finally she figured out, you know, let me just fully surrender. Then Krishna take full charge. So I see it as both ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have anything to add to that?
No, just...
What's your opinion or what's your understanding? Let's hear that.
It's kind of like... Because I don't think Prabhupada was pretending to struggle. You know what I mean? I think that it was really there. You know, going. So somehow it was just some, Mahamaya or the Krishna put him in that situation just so that he could set the example. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's my understanding too. That's like whenever, like Srila Prabhupada said, he said, Krishna will never give you a task that you cannot succeed in. He would give you the task and he would give you the ammunition, the support, the facilities to execute that task. You know.
Nataka Gopala told me that one time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, is it true that Krishna will never give you more than you can handle? And Prabhupada said, yes, nor less.
Yeah, that's the point, yeah. Yeah. I always get trouble at that point. I always get trouble with that, okay, you know, he's not giving me more that I can handle, but why can't he give me less? You know, why can't that part be good? You know, like many times I discuss with my wife that, you know, since we came to Krishna consciousness, you know, if we need the last penny to pay our bills, it should come at the last moment, but we will never get extra. You know, we had all this big idea when we first started Ratha Yatras, you know. We had a certain amount of Lakshmi in the bank, so we had a big plan. We're going to make the cart, we're going to buy a bus, we're going to facilitate all the devotees, we're going to do so much for this festival. And by the time we finished building the cart, we were dead broke. And we can never get a penny from then again. Only whatever is needed at the appointed time, that would come. You know, so until finally decide, well, okay, this is probably the way it's going to be. Yeah.
Here it comes.
Yeah. So, anything else? So, anyway, Mother.
How
yeah.
Old were you when you met the Rose?
Oh, 17, I think I was. Yeah, I wasn't an adult as yet, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I was 17. Okay.
Haven't you made them get a book?
Yes, you did that right. Well, I got a book maybe like about a year or so before. I was in high school, and I was writing final exams in high school. Then one friend gave me this book, and I was kind of frustrated a little bit, can't get my problem solved. And he said, he just randomly, I just a karmic friend, I don't know where he got this, it was the soft bung Bhagavad Gita. And he said, anytime you feel frustrated, just read any page of this book. I said, you know, that sounds like nonsense to me. How can you, a few pages of a book, you know, solve? And immediately I pick up and just randomly I open a page and I read it, and it was really, really soothing. And then that night, you know, I happened to just throw the book and it went right on my pillow. So that night when I went to bed, the book was right there in front of me, and I decided to open it, and then I read about 5 pages. And I think that's where the actual change of heart came from. Then shortly after, the devotees came to that part of the country. They were doing Harinam. So where I was living, to the marketplace, we can hear the sound of the Mirdanga. And we weren't that far away. And I told my brother, that's a very different song. We never heard that song before. So when I went, we decided to go, and, you know, curious, we went out there, and I saw. And then I saw the very book that they had at a cloth on the ground with some books and a place you can put a little bit of a lachmi. So, and I saw that book and recognized, I have that same book at home. And my mom used to give me a quarter every week. That's my pocket change. So I used to save it to either take it for 2 weeks so that I can buy a pack of cheese crackers. Or so anyway, I took that. I gave a quarter as a donation, and then they gave me some Mahaprasadam. And I think that actually, you know, that actually gave me an initial start. So that's how I got started. Thank you very much. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, you have a question?
Comment, please. Mahendrani wrote, from Divyanga's Vyas Puja offering, whoever struggles, whoever daily fights the battle of life only for Lord Krishna's sake, discovers prosperity, mystic perfection, and transcendental knowledge in the palm of his hand.
Yeah, thank you very much. That is so very true. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.